God's grace from the King be with you tonight and strengthen you. Amen. Tonight, I'd like to look at a little different aspect of facing and going into 2018, the next year, is about the pace that God wants to set with us as we journey with Him. What should be our pace, our stride, our speed with which we're going into the next year? What do you think? Should we just amble through the year, sort of like a tumbleweed across Ghost Town? Should we run and sprint like we're in a mad dash, a 100-yard dash? Should we wander about like Crocodile Dundee just going on a walkabout? Or should we stand still and do nothing but be still? Well, let's take a look tonight and see what pace God sets for His people. It's very important to have the right pace as we go into this year in our hearts so that we are able to walk with the Lord Jesus wherever He goes. Because we're definitely on the move. Amen. So let's talk about the pace. What is the stride, the pace, the speed at which a Christian, at which we should go into this new year? What's God tell us about that? Well, number one, God says you're to go into this world, into this next year, with a sense of urgency. Do you have a sense of urgency about the year that's upcoming? You know, some Christians, people who go to church, they're content to sort of just retire, kick back, let the days and years roll by, and not have a great drive to them. But God, one thing I need to tell you tonight is God says there should be a certain speed to your walk, a certain speed to your journey into the next year, a certain motion, a wind in your face. Let's read that at various places and see if I'm telling you the truth here. Exodus 12, we read there in verse 11, this is at the Passover. God says to His people, "In this manner you shall eat the Passover, your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." So they would be ready to go, on the move, ready to get out of Egypt when God sounded the trumpet. We can look at another place here in Joshua chapter 4, when the people were entering the promised land. I read there in verse 10, it says that the priests who bore the ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to tell the people, according to all that Moses had commanded Joshua. The people passed over in haste, that is, across the Jordan River. So how did the people go across the river? Ambling about, like, we're entering the promised land. No, they went with speed into the promised land. Are you heading to a promised land? Hint? Yes, you are. Speed is enjoined upon you. How about another one here? Acts 22. Paul is in Jerusalem. And God appears to him in a vision. Here we are in verse chapter 22, verse 17. Paul says, "When I returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple, I fell into a trance and saw him saying to me, 'Make haste and get up quickly out of Jerusalem, because they will not accept your testimony about me.'" In other words, they're coming for you, Paul. Get out of Dodge, quickly. Speed is important for you here. How about the Christmas story when Mary gets the word about her babe, Jesus, coming into her womb? We read in chapter 1, verse 39, that in those days Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to the city of Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. Do you see a theme developing here? Let me do one more here. 2 Timothy chapter 4. This is for me, especially as a preacher. And this is a word from Paul to Timothy. "Preach the word, be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort, be unfailing in patience and in teaching. The time is coming when people will not endure sound doctrine." So whenever I preach, there should be a sense of urgency to me to move the people along, to get speed out of you. Are you ready for some speed tonight? to go and launch yourself into the next year? You know, the Christian life is likened to a race a lot of times, right? I've fought the fight, I've finished the race. And Paul says, I don't run aimlessly, I'm running, I'm like an Olympiad, I'm pressing on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So God tells us there should be a certain urgency to the speed and to the forward motion of his people as we go into the next year. So we need to stir that up inside of us. Now, why do we need speed? I feel the need for speed, right, Top Gun? Remember that? Well, this is different. This is a holy speed. Why do we need it? Well, number one, let's remember that even though we're saved and we're freed prisoners, we're not in prison anymore, we're free people, we're still passing through enemy territory, right? We're not yet home where we need to be. So it's important for anybody in enemy territory to move quickly. Remember that story back in World War II, the Bataan Death March, and the Americans were captured and put into a Japanese prison camp? Well, there was a rescue effort. Lieutenant Muchi of the Army Rangers got a band of Rangers, and they went in and behind enemy lines and broke out the Allies from the prison camp where they couldn't escape on their own strength. And out they came, and they were free from their captors, but they were still in Japanese-controlled territory until they got back to the beach and into the ship and then home to America where they could relax. Until then, it's time to arm the people that were prisoners. Now they're free, they're soldiers again. Let's go to the beach, and we got to move quickly. For we're not contending, Paul says, against flesh and blood. There are angels against you. Fallen ones, principalities, powers, world rulers of the present darkness, spiritual hosts of wickedness, and the heavenly places that scheme and plot your destruction. So Paul says, be on the move. You're to be sober, says Peter. Watchful, your adversary, the devil, is like a prowling lion looking for someone to devour. You're to resist him. So what should a Christian look like? What should our speed look like? We're to look like we're going forward with a drawn sword in the hand, with a shield at the ready in our left hand, with our eyes alert, and with a certain pace that's swift because there is an enemy about. Also, let's remember that we have purpose. You know, we're saved with a great purpose to our life. We are to shine the light of Christ to other people. There's so much to be done. You might even want to write down a list of things, and because it says the wicked man plots evil, but the righteous man, Proverbs 12, plans good. Do you sometimes write down things that need to get done that you can do for God's kingdom? New Year's resolution types of things? Well, write those down. There's so much purpose for us to go forward, to grow close with the Lord, to increase in love, to practice love and patience toward each other, to witness, to save souls, to bring people good deeds from our hands, to lift up their spirits and such things. There's so much. The Christian life, we're not just wandering around like, you know, zombies, right? We're not a tumbleweed blowing through a ghost town. We are an arrow launched from the bow of God, shot into the world. As the Father sent me, Jesus said, so I send you. That's what you're to be like in this next year. Swifter than eagles, just shot like an arrow from God's bowstring out into the 2018, because you've got something to do. There's a great purpose and wonderful glory to bring to God through our good deeds. Remembering also, as Paul says, the time is short, right? How much time do we really have in the world? Christ is coming soon. We don't know how long ourselves we have in our lives. Paul says, you know what hour it is. It's full time to wake from sleep now. Salvation's nearer than when we first believed. The night, it's far gone. The day is at hand. Therefore, let's cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light and look carefully how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil. So we drive forward also because, you know what, the finish line is near. Don't you see the shining city of God on a hill? You know, when I was running cross country in high school, I hated it. I like tennis, but my friends talked me into cross country. And it was just like, you know, the definition of cross country? It's pain. And there's no like glory, like I won this tennis point. It's just like start, the gun goes off, and it's pain until you finish the sport. That's all it is. But you know what? You know, the closer I get to the finish line every time, you know, you might go a little slower, conserve your energy when you're in the woods, but when you break out into that open field, the last dash, and the coach is watching, and you have the great crowds cheering, and you know you're almost done, you get this burst of energy and speed that's just like, where did I get this? I'm like, flash, you know? And all of a sudden, boom, across the finish line. So we go forward too with speed this year because you know what? The finish line is so near. There is a prize, a blue ribbon waiting for you at the end, a golden cup, an imperishable wreath. I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, says Paul. So is that your heart? Is that your spirit? Think about Don Quixote de la Mancha, one of my favorites from Men of La Mancha. Remember that knight? To fight for the right without question or pause, to be willing to march into hell for a heavenly cause, to strive after that unreachable star. That's what is to be our heart. And it's so exciting. It's wonderful. Put some speed into your heart and your feet today as Christians, God says. But secondly, I want to ask, is it a mad dash type of a run that we have this next year, where you're out of breath? No. What God says is, my pace, follow my pace. It is a purposeful walk. You're not, you know, the world we live in is a rat race, isn't it? Sometimes I go out on the river, go sailing, and see these seagulls just hanging out on the river at night. I'm thinking, these guys really haven't made it. It's so peaceful out there. You know, time's rolling by, and then the rat race is on the shore, and everybody's frenetic, they're going crazy, they're running this way and that. That's not how it is for us. When we go forward with speed as Christians, it's really a purposeful walk. We've got a nice gait, but you're refreshed. You're like an army that's on the move. You're not running as if you're in flight. And why do we not need to go in haste? We don't want to go hastily, for the hasty stroke goes off and astray, right? But this is why we can go at a good clip, but without wearing ourselves out. This is a refreshing speed from the Lord. Why? Isaiah 52, verse 12. Listen, it says, "For you shall not go out in haste, and you shall not go in flight, for the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard." Why do we not need to run through this next year as if through enemy territory? Because guess what? The Lord is protecting us. He goes before you into this year. He is a vanguard and watching your flank on your sides. He is a rear guard behind you. Now, if you read the Old Testament and you see the people of Israel, how they move through the wilderness, who is in the midst of them at all times? The Ark of the Covenant. God was right there in the center of his people. Now, if you looked at it from space or from an airplane and looked down at Israel, you'd see God in the center, and then the camps of Israel were in the north, east, west, and south. And if you number the number of people in each of those tribes, you know what it actually looks like from the sky looking down at Israel? It's this gigantic cross moving across the landscape. Isn't that cool? God's in the center, then the tribes in the north, more in the south, on the east and the west. It looks like a cross. And this people of God moved in a stately way, without fear, confidently, at a good speed, but not a crazy run, a nice pace, because the Lord is with it. And we can move at a good pace through this year with speed, but also not a crazy speed, because God is in the midst of you. The shout of a king is among them, said Balaam in Numbers chapter 23. God brings them out of Egypt. They have, as it were, the horns of the wild ox. They are like a people, like a lion rising in power through the wilderness. Is that how you feel? Like a more than a conqueror? Like a strong lion? Like the horns of a wild ox? I'm going to just march through this. I mean, it's going to look like this, all right? It's not like this kind of running to the... It's just a purposeful walk with the Lord as his people moving through this year without fear, because all power is on your side. You are a conquering army, not an army in flight. You are a conquering people, more than conquerors through Him who loved you. Sometimes, though, God slows down the pace of His people, doesn't He? Do you like that? I mean, you want to go fast and God goes slow? Sometimes He does that. He is a living God. He's an active captain. He's not a robot. You're not in a car or a trolley on a set pace. Sometimes God slows you up a bit. Are you willing to get slowed down? Think about the promise to Abraham. It took 25 years to come to pass. The woman that was bent over, it took 18 years before Jesus straightened her up. The lame man at the well, he was there lame 38 years, but finally his legs were made strong again. And the woman with the flow of blood, she waited 12 years to be free. And the man at the temple, he was 40 years plus lying there unable to move. And then finally Peter came by, and he was leaping and walking and entering the temple praising God. So are you willing to go at a slower pace sometimes? If you go into nature, what's the pace look like? You ever just hung out in nature for a whole day? It's like, you know, if you're used to the rat race and you go in nature, it's like, this is boring. I'm just sitting here. What's going on in nature? But you know what? When you watch nature, everything seems slow and it's the Lord's pace, but it gets there powerfully. You plant an acorn out here and it takes a while, but eventually it becomes an oak tree with the tops reaching into the skies, into the heavens. If you look at a caterpillar go into his little cocoon or his chrysalis, he seems to be dormant and nothing's going on. But in time, he stretches out these beautiful wings and spreads them out. It's so beautiful. Winter turns into summer and summer into winter, seemingly so slow, but it's the Lord's pace. And He's working miracles by such things. So if the Lord slows you down a bit this year, that's a good thing, because He works powerfully through them. So what I'm telling you tonight is sometimes it is a run, sometimes a swift walk. Sometimes God says, cool down, let's slow down and take a little rest. Let's go to a lonely place and rest a while. And sometimes, yes, He even says, it's time to stop, stand still. Can you do that? That's kind of hard for us. But let's look at a time when God said that in the Old Testament. Exodus 14, God takes His people swiftly out of Egypt. But then what do we read? Pharaoh says, they're entangled in the land. The wilderness has shut them in because God had turned them back and said, stop. You know, what? We're going to the promised land. No, stop. I want you to stay right here. What was God ultimately doing? He was using Israel as bait. He was leading. He was using Israel to draw out all of God's enemies after them. And He brought them right to the crest of the Red Sea. And what do we read there? We read that Moses said to the people, don't be afraid, fear not, for Pharaoh's army was hard upon them. Stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You have only to be still. Sometimes that's the hardest thing, right? It's easier for God to tell you to run than it is for you to stand still when there's enemies about you. But nevertheless, He tells us sometimes you need to just stop right now and let Me do Your work for you. Let Me conquer your enemies for you. And what do we notice? Whenever God tells us to stop, just like with Israel, the pillar that was going before them full of fire, it says it moved around to the backside, so it came between the forces of Pharaoh and the forces of Israel, so that all night that fire was there to guard the people while they stayed in place. And then it came sometime shortly after that. God told Moses to step forward to the sea, lift up his rod, and parts the sea, so there became a wall of water on each side. Now, said God, says, go forward. And they moved. And they went through the sea on dry land. But the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, the waters closed in upon them, and God had victory over them. So, what are we talking about today? Sometimes, you know, we always want to have a sense of speed about us, because there's so much speed as a Christian, but keep your pace back. When the Lord slows you down a bit, Let that happen. And if God tells you to be still, know that something really powerful is going on. Be still, and know that I'm God, says the Lord. I'm exalted among the nations. I'm exalted in the earth. And I'll tell you guys, sometimes the best things God's ever done for me has been when I'm sitting in the wilderness, planting my backside on the ground, and not move for several hours, and God does some amazing things and given me something. So spend time alone with the Lord in silence and stillness at times when God stops. You stop. So last thing I'll say is this. Let me just give you a little illustration to put this all together. When I was a boy, I had two little dogs, Mickey and Lady, a West Highland Terrier and a miniature Schnauzer. When the snow drifts would come up in Connecticut, I'd walk through our back property, which was a big hill, through the woods. Mickey and Lady couldn't do anything. They're just little dogs. The snow is way over their head. They were stuck. But what would I do? I would walk before them and drag my feet through the snow drifts and create a path for them. And they follow so hard upon my heels that a lot of times I'd feel myself hitting Lady, who was right behind me, and Mickey was right behind Lady. They were right next to me. When I'd move quickly, they'd move quickly. When I'd slow down, they'd slow down. When I'd stop, they'd stop. When I'd jump and move quickly, they move quickly again. That's how we're to be with the Lord this year. I can't give you this one set pace because the Lord is alive. He is a person. He's an army commander. He moves us quickly at times, sometimes slower, sometimes at a stop, and then jolts us forward quickly again. My point tonight is keep your eye on the Spirit, because he's going to lead you, and every one of these paces is just so beautiful. Everything has a season. Everything has a time. And so did and does our salvation. For when the time had fully come, God, at that proper season, sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, to redeem us, so that we would be adopted by God as his children, as his sons. So go forward this year with the Lord with purpose, with peace, with patience, with a perfect joy, with speed when the Lord calls you to it, and know that we are marching, friends, to Zion. I'll conclude with Isaiah 51, verse 11. It says, and this is of us, and the ransom of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads like a crown. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. In Jesus' name, amen.